we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name.
Amen. I made a statement, and it's been echoing all over the country, that God always planned for Israel to have a king. And He did. And the people have asked me, teach about this. Put the scriptures in there, you know, not just make a statement, but say something about it, which I have a little bit. But I said that Israel was in a hurry for a king. And so they asked for a king that would go out and lead them in battle and fight their battles for them and all this kind of stuff. And Jehovah had been fighting their battles for them all the time. God had always planned that there was going to be a king in His people. Go back to the book of, and I've got some books set out here and there. Okay? All right? He prophesied from the very beginning. Genesis 49, 8 through 12. Genesis 49, 8 through 12. This is the first one. Genesis 49, 8 through 12. All right. That's one of the first ones. All right, Genesis 49, 8 through 12. Who has got that? Anyone yet? Norm, have you? What are you up there yet? All right. Randall, 49, 8 through 12.
Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies.
Now, who's speaking here?
Jacob.
This is Jacob. This is the man that would become Israel. All right? He actually was Israel. But Jacob speaking or Israel speaking, okay? Go ahead, brother.
Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares arouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples.
All right. What is this prophesying here? It's prophesying that Israel is going to have a king. This is what it's talking about. Israel is going to have a king. What does a scepter involve? A scepter is what the king holds, isn't it? All right, so they're going to have a king. And also in Genesis 35 and verse 11, we're not going to go to these places. I'm just going to give you some of these. Genesis 35 and verse 11 and Genesis 17 and verse 16. Now Psalm 60 and verse 7, and then Psalm 108 and verse 8, and Psalm 2, 6 through 9, and Psalm 22, 8 through 11. I mean, the Bible is full of this, okay? I'm telling you. When I made a statement that Israel was always supposed to have a king. Now, if you go all the way back, Connie over there, you're going to read the oldest verse in the Bible. What's the first thing there? That's a chronological Bible, all right? That's a chronological Bible, and what it does, it takes the oldest verse in time in the Bible and states it first. And what does it say there?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
All right. Now what it actually says in Greek there, it says in beginning, in NRK, that's singular. That goes back to the furthest, absolute, farthest reaches of time and eternity past. All right. In beginning, and it says ain, a little old Greek word ain. I want you to see that word. It's not much. That's it right there. That word ain, that's third person singular and perfect indicative active. And what it means, translated, the Word, or in beginning, kept on being the Word. All right, hologos. Now, you that have taken my Hebrew classes, who is the Word?
Jehovah.
That's who He was. They came along to that unspeakable name of God. All right? Ha-Davar, say Ha-Davar. Okay, the bar, the Word, okay? That's what they referred to Jehovah as. And the Jews today, when they come to the name Jehovah, they know how to say the Word. They can't say it. So what do they say today when they read it? Brother Randall? Adonai. Adonai. We're going to get to that in just a little bit, too. Adonai means King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Adonai is. The full title is Jehovah. Well, we say that easily, but we don't know how to say it. Something like that. Jehovah, Adonai, Ha-Adonaim. Okay? Now, the next verse down there, Connie, What's it say after John 1 and 1?
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Okay, that's how long Jehovah has existed, or Jesus. All right? He was the incarnate Christ. He was the one that walked in the garden with Adam. He was the one that confronted Cain when he sinned. Jehovah confronted him, Jesus, walking in the flesh, like flesh, pre-incarnate flesh, walking in the garden, and he confronted Cain. And he said, Cain, where's your brother? That's what he told him. I don't know where am I my brother's keeper? Well, we are, aren't we? He killed him, all right? So let's go back now, Psalm 60 and verse 7. Who's got Psalm 60 and verse 7? Anyone got Psalm 60 and verse 7? Psalm 60 and verse 7.
Okay.
Mine
is Gilead, and mine Manasseh, but Ephraim is the defense of my head. Judah is my commander's staff.
All right, the commander's staff there, what it means in Hebrew is that he is the king, Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, okay? Who was the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Who became the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. All right. Psalm 108, verse 8. Psalm 108, verse 8. Psalm 108, verse 8. And then Psalm 2, 6 through 9. We're going to fly through these scriptures today. Brett, you got a Bible there? Near you?
No, I can get one.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we can get you to read here a little bit. We can get you on the... Make you world famous here. Over in Australia, John Capel will be listening to you. Who's got Psalm 108, verse 8? Judy, do you have that? Psalm 108, verse 8?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah, my scepter.
Okay, again. All right. And then Psalm 2, 6 through 9. Psalm 2, 6 through 9. And we could go Psalm 72, 8 through 11, but it's a little bit redundant. We're going to... Okay, Psalm 2, 6 through 9. Who has got Psalm 2? Have you got that, young man? Okay.
As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son today. I have forgotten...
Who's he talking about? Who's that talking about? Psalm 2, 6 through 9. Read that again, brother, real loud.
As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Okay. Who's it talking about? Jesus, the Messiah. All right? It's God in the flesh, okay? That's who it's talking about. Exodus 3:14. I think I had it open to it for you. Now, this is what they call the Sacred Name Bible. It tries to bring out from the Hebrew the idea in Greek, or not in Greek, but in English, okay? Now, Exodus 3:14.
And Elohim said unto Moses, I will become whatsoever I please. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the sons of Israel, I will become, hath sent me unto you.
What? I will become. I shall become. What is the name Jehovah? What does it mean?
Shall become.
I shall become, or he who shall become. Read that again now, and let's see what it says.
And Elohim...
Elohim. God.
Said yep. unto Moses, I will become whatsoever I please. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the nations of Israel, I will become, has sent me unto you.
All right. In the Septuagint, it is the ego eimi. All right. All right. I shall become. That's Jehovah. All right. Jehovah. All right. And what it is here, it's it was translated into Greek as this. All right. Ego eimi. I am. Now in the New Testament, Jesus quoted this. And he got in trouble. He got in trouble, didn't he? Did he quote this in the New Testament? Go to, what? Yeah. He told them. All right, John 8:23-28 in the New Testament. Kata Iwane, the Gospel according to John. John 8:23-28. And then 51-53 and 56-59 and 10, 22-30 and 10-34. And then Psalm 23 and verse 1. We're just jumping all over here. We're going to see a lot of this, okay? We're going to get this king business down. Well, we're going to slow down. Okay, we'll slow down.
Just as you get there, say it again.
Okay, we'll slow down. Bill, are you going to go make copies of something today?
Do we need copies?
Well, yeah, I'm of the prayer thing. Can you do that? Can you make about 40 euros?
Okay. All right. Let's go to. Now, Israel was going to have a king, okay? Israel was going to have a king. Now, Randall, okay? That, the one that I opened up. Deuteronomy, 3:7, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos.
Was it 10:17?
Yes. Let's see what that says.
Where it starts off with the God, Ha-El.
Ha-El.
Ha-El, Ha-Gadol, Ha-Gibor, Ha-Gibor. No word. Got that wrong.
Down below the English translation of it.
Jesus says, God, the great, the mighty, the fearful, that's a lot easier. The fearful, who not does uplift faces nor take a bribe.
Okay.
Go right
through here. Right there.
This right here?
Yeah, that one right there. That wasn't that what I underlined there.
He, Jehovah, Elohim. King. Okay, you want the English?
Yes, the English.
Jehovah, your God, He is God of the gods, Lord of lords.
Jehovah your Elohim, Jehovah, that's the word Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? He who shall become. That's who it is. What does it say about him? Jehovah. Okay. It says Adonai Ha-Adonaim. Adonai Ha-Adonaim. All right. Let's look at that. Adonai. Now, this is what all the Jews call the name Jehovah. That's how they pronounce it. Can you pronounce that? Adonai. It doesn't look anything like the name Jehovah at all. And then it says there, I hope I'm not going too over your head. I'm not trying to. Okay. Adonai, that's what all the Jews call Jehovah. Okay. That's who he is. All right, Adonai, and right here it says Jehovah. It says your God, your Elohim, is Jehovah Adonai Ha'Adonaim. That's one of the Jehovah titles. All right, another Jehovah title is Jehovah Roe. All right, do you know what that one is? Jehovah Roe. What is Jehovah Roe? There's a lot of titles. Someone turn to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Can you quote that, brother? Can you just quote that? The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Okay? Now John, the 10th chapter, 22. Now, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Remember that? That says that. All right. That means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What he did, when you quote one verse from a Hebrew scripture, if you're a Hebrew, when you quote the first verse, it means the whole psalm is in suit. In other words, you've got to read the whole thing. He quoted one verse, but he meant the whole psalm. So if you read all the 22nd psalm, what you're going to find out, he's talking about his crucifixion. Isaiah 53, the rejected Messiah. Okay? Now, John 10:27-30, what is that? John 10:27. Connie, are you over there? John 10:27? Who's got John 10? Are you over there, Brett? John 10:27. Anybody at John 10:27? Are you, Norm? Norm's a guy.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.
All right, my sheep listen to my noise, my voice. I almost said it in Greek. It means my noise. All right.
I know them, and they follow me.
And they follow me. And what's the next one say?
I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
All right. Does it say there, I am the good shepherd?
No.
Okay, right.
This is one of those Catholic translations.
Oh, okay. All right. Where does it say, I am the good shepherd there in John, the 10th chapter? Is it 10:34? 10:34?
No.
10:14.
There you go, Randall. 10:14. That's the one I wanted. 10:11 and 10:14.
I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me.
All right. I am the good shepherd. What was Jesus saying? What did he say? What was he telling them? Psalm 23. Look at Psalm 23 again. Is he the good shepherd? Jehovah is my shepherd. He said, I'm Jehovah. That's exactly what he was saying. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Let's look at that just a little. Sister Andino.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
All right. Let's go on a little further now. Okay. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it. This is what Jesus, when he told his disciples, his church, his ecclesia, the ones called out. Are you over there, brother? Psalm 23? Okay, could you read that on a little bit further?
Which one, number two?
Yeah, number two.
In the pasture of tender grass, he makes me lie down in restful waters. He leads me. My life, he restores. He guides me in the right path for the sake of his name.
All right, for his name, Shem. His name. All right. Go on a little further.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of death shadow, I will fear no harm, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me.
All right, thy rod and staff. This is a shepherd. Now, this is David's idea of heaven. Psalm 23 is David's idea of heaven. Because he was a shepherd, wasn't he? And so he's telling us about this. Go on, Brother Luis, a little further.
Well, friends before a table in the face of my adversaries, they have anointed with oil my head, my cup, and run over.
All right. That's beautiful, isn't it? You want a little further?
Surely God, goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forevermore.
I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forevermore. The house of Jehovah. What is the house of Jehovah? Huh? New Jerusalem. The house of Jehovah is New Jerusalem. All right? New Jerusalem. That's who it is. New Jerusalem. And let's go to John 1:14. Now, we in the Old Testament, we looked at that, didn't we? Now, we're going to figure out who this king was. Through the loins of David would come forth the Messiah king that would be related to us today. All right? All right. Revelation 5 and verse 5. Revelation 5 and verse 5. Are you over there, Connie? 5 and 5? Oh, okay. Revelation. Are you there, Rex? Are you in Revelation?
No, I got John.
Okay. John 1:14. All right. Well, You can read John 1:14. Are you there, Connie? Okay, John 1:14.
Okay. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right, now let's look at it. And the Word flesh became. And the Word flesh became. Are you handing out that now, Brother Bill? No, I didn't. This is for the next class. All right, John 1:14. Kaiho Logo starts again and tells us what it says in Greek. And the Word flesh became. The Word flesh He became for Himself. Third person singular, second aorist indicative middle voice. That's beautiful. Well, this is part of the Bible. Okay.
Okay, where are you at there?
John 1:14. Okay. And then Revelation 5:5. Okay, John 1:14. And the Word He became flesh. Now, why did the Word become flesh? The book of Ruth. Okay, now we're going to go back to Revelation, the 5th chapter. We're just bouncing all over the place, all right? Ruth, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 22. I'm only going to refer to it. All right, there's a reason. Okay, Ruth, the 4th chapter. The book of Ruth is in the Bible for what reason? To show us that we need a kinsman redeemer to save us. Okay? And back here in the eternity past, Jehovah said, I will save my creation. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to create, and He did, way back here in Genesis 1:1, it says, Barashit bara Elohim v'eth Hashemayim v'eth Ha'aretz. It says, and God created, in beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. Way back yonder, He created the physical creation. Genesis 1:2, it says, the earth she became formless and void. Something caused it to happen. Hold on. I'm running. The earth she became formless and void. If you go to Isaiah 14:12-15 and Ezekiel the 28th chapter, you'll find out what happened. Satan rebelled. The spiritual forces. He took spirit forces and angels and rebelled against God, but he flopped. But he did do a lot of damage to the earth. Man, God always planned this. Way back here in eternity past, He planned that. He knew this was going to happen. God's what? What's the three attributes of God? He's omnipotent. That means all powerful. He's what? Omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. And what's the other one? Omniscient, that means that He knows it all. Okay? That's it. Some people, I have seen people that were crossed between a skunk and a computers, you know, sneaking know-it-alls. But God really knows all things. This chart up here tells us a little bit about it. Okay? Way back there, and then God said that He is going to put man on the earth. And as we studied in the book of Genesis on Sunday afternoon, that was part of my handout for this afternoon, Brother Bill. That's for the guys that are studying Hebrew.
How many did you say you needed?
About 20. Okay, that's good. Anyway, God decided to create man. He's going to create man in what? In His image. What image did He have? The image of Jehovah was what He created man in. And that's the one who, this Jehovah that walked in the garden with Adam, was Jesus in pre-incarnate. Jesus, okay? Pre-incarnate means before flesh. Before the act of becoming flesh. Pre-incarnate. Okay, that's what it literally says. Okay? He was the one that walked there, but He's also the one that came down in the garden and He formed man. Now, this is going to blow some of you away because He didn't create him out of dirt. Didn't create him out of dirt. A lot of people say, you know, all the translations ever say created him from dirt. He didn't create him from dust. He created him from the same elements as the dust. From the same elements as the dust. Man is a primary creation of God. He wasn't created from something else. This is really something. He created him from the same elements as the dust to become dust. Because he would become dust. Because he knew that he was going to die. He was going to sin. Okay? So God puts man in the garden and he makes man the ruler of the world. Adam was the king. He was the king. He was the head of all things. Just go in there and find out in the book of Genesis and find out what God put him over. He was the ruler of all these things. One time, Lucifer was the... Lucifer is called what in the Bible? He's a light carrier. So he was the light of the world at one time, the cosmos, the universe. And he fell. Okay? And angels are made kind of almost like in the image of God because they're spiritual image. They do have form. Okay? And every time you see an angel in the Bible, what do they look like? A man. And man is made in the image of God. Okay? The physical image of God. Okay? All right. So, as we go on, we see that God created man in his image, and then it says he breathed into him the breathings of lives. And we were all placed in Adam right there. All of our lives. Your life, Luis, was there. Brother Floyd, you were there. When God breathed into Adam the breathings of lives, you were there. So all of us partake of that. But not only that, but now because God created Adam in his image, all right, here we have man, because he created him to be king. All right? And in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 14 through 16, if you want to write this one down, 2 Samuel 7, 14 through 16. Now, when God called David, if you go back, the book of Ruth, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 22, it gives the lineage of David in there. Because David was going to be the king. David was going to be the king of Israel before he was ever born. This is what you call the foreknowledge of God, predetermined counsel of God. David was going to be the king of Israel. He was always going to be the king of Israel. Israel was in a hurry and said, we want a man. We want us a king to go out and follow. And so he gave him Saul. Now Saul's kingdom, his heir as a king of Israel, God gave it to him, but it was conditional, wasn't it? It has conditions. When Saul broke those conditions, it was over with. Now, in 2 Samuel 7, 14 through 16, it tells us that David's heir as a king and his lineage is unconditional. Unconditional. A whole lot of them failed. David failed in a lot of ways, didn't he? But his heir wouldn't fail. And Ruth, the reason why you have the book of Ruth is because God wants to show us that He is going to be our kinsman redeemer. He's going to be related to us. John 3:16. Can anybody quote that one? That's easy. For God so loved what? The cosmos, the whole world, the created universe, that He gave His only begotten Son. Then the Son came into this world. Now, in Genesis 3:15, okay? In Genesis 3:15, God promised the woman, and He cursed Satan, Lucifer, there, and He said, in her seed, what? What would happen?
Enmity.
Okay, there would be active hatred, enmity, between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ. And He shall bruise you as to the head, a death-dealing blow, but you shall bruise Him as to the heel. In other words, He's going to... Was Jesus' heels bruised? Was His feet bruised? Well, they drove nails through His feet, didn't they? Sure. God became flesh, John 1:14. That's the fulfillment of the Jehovah title in the New Testament. Now, Jehovah Roe, Jehovah, the Lord our Shepherd, Psalm 23 and verse 1, and John the 10th chapter, we see who that is, without doubt. Okay? We see who He is. Ruth, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4 and 6. Isaiah 49, 6 and 7. These are all references to the King of Israel, by the way. All the reference to the King. And He will be the seed of the woman. That God, in space and time, would come down and through Mary, this, and Mary was not some unusual person. I want you to understand that. Mary was a woman, just like all of the women. But Mary, God picked out to bring forth the Messiah. Okay? Now, in Matthew, the first chapter and verse 1, someone go to Matthew, the first chapter and verse 1. I got 14 more minutes. Matthew, the first chapter and verse 1. Are you there, Connie?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
All right. Here we have the generations, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. What it means, family histories. The son of who? David. King David. That's who he was. King David. Now the book of Matthew, Katamathion, the book of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew, is the book that Matthew wrote about the legal heir to the throne of Israel. That's the legal heir. If you go all the way back through there, you're going to find out it lines up that he is a legal heir. Joseph was the legal heir to the throne of Israel, and Esau's bunch got in there. The old devil always tries to overthrow God and everything that he does, doesn't he? All right? Esau was not the promised son. It was Jacob. Jacob's heir was supposed to be on the throne, and how in the world that the devil got Esau descended, Herod, on that throne is a twist of time and space. Okay? Now, Luke, the third chapter. Luke, the third chapter. Luke, the third chapter. And verse 23. Luke 3:23. Are you there, Mother Louise? You're pretty fast.
And Joshua himself was when he began about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph of Eli.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of Eli. All right. Now what happened here, we have the an Old Testament custom. What happened, Mary didn't have any brothers. She was probably the oldest girl. And so her father adopted Joseph as the heir of everything that Mary would have. Now what we have here is the physical heir that goes all the way back to the garden. All the way back to the Garden of Eden when God created Adam. All right? God created Adam and he made a likeness of himself. Okay? And this goes back to the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel. Luke, what kind of a person was he? What was his occupation? He was a physician and a physical scientist. So here we will have the physical lineage of Jesus where God is related to his creation. So he can redeem his creation. God becomes related to his creation so he can redeem it. Now, almost every cult and ism in the world, there's one thing that all of the isms do. It removes God far away from you. Puts him way out there to where you can't touch him. But I'm telling you, God come. He broke into human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ through Mary to be related to you so he could redeem you. So he could redeem you back to himself. And not only would he redeem you, but he would redeem the whole universe back. Adam in that garden, when he forfeited his kingship, he also forfeited the right to the whole universe. Who's running around the God of this age today? He handed it over to him for a time, didn't he? Lucifer. Who's going to bring it back into his power? Because he's related to the universe now. God is related to the universe. He can, his kinsman redeemer to it. All right? Verse number 31, 3 and verse number 31. Luke 3:31. Luke 3:31. I hope it's been clearer than mud. Luke 3:31. Brother Bill.
The son of Moab, the son of Menon, the son of Nephi, the son of Nathan, the son of David.
Son of David. Here we have David. We have David in the lineage. King David. God was always going to have a king. And it was going to be King David. And through David would be the Messiah. Jehovah. And what does Jehovah mean? He who shall become was going to become. All right, now Revelation, the fifth chapter. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 and verse 5. Revelation 5 and 5. Are you over there, Dr. John?
Yes, but one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals."
Who is this? Who's it talking about? Jesus. All right, Jehovah. All right, that's who it is, the Lion of the tribe. This is the promised king of Israel that was going to come through David's lineage now. Saul was going to be cut off. Okay, but David, are you still there, brother? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 5 through 14, just quickly go down through.
And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are in the seven spirits of God.
Seven is a number of what in the Bible?
Perfection.
Perfection. All right. In other words, he's omniscient, omnipresent.
God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him and sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and shall, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." That's 13.
Yeah, that's it. That's beautiful, isn't it? Now, John 8, 51 through 53. Jesus is coming along. He's going to quote the writings in the Old Testament. John 8, 51 through 53. John 8, 51. Darren, you over there? John 8. 51 through 53.
Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, "Now, we know that you have a demon. Abraham died as did the prophets. Yet, as you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never escape death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died as the prophets, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?"
All right. And that's 53? All right. 56 through 59 now. 56 through 59.
"Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'"
All right, what he did, he's quoted it, Exodus 3:14. He said, "Before Abraham was, ego eimi," because he was speaking in Greek. He quoted Exodus 3:14. That's where it says, "I am, sent me." Remember when God told Jehovah was speaking to Moses? And he said, "You tell him that I am sent you?" And he quotes there. What were they going to do to him after that? They were going to stone him because he said he was God. Now, Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Now, we were at Deuteronomy 10:17, remember? That said, "Our God, our Jehovah, our Elohim, our Jehovah is Adonai Ha'Adonaiim." We know who that is, don't we? That's Jehovah, isn't it? That's Exodus 10:17, okay? Now, over here in Revelation 19 and verse number 13. 19 and verse number 13. Are you over there, Connie? You over there?
"And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God."
All right, he's called the Word of God? I wonder why that John called him the Word of God. Because he kept, you know, John's writing, he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And every one of them, he names Jesus as the Word of God, Ha the Bar. That's the name. The name is Jehovah. Okay? That's who he's talking about. Go on a little bit further there.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Okay. Now go on down to verse 16. Or 15.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations.
Oh, okay, hold on right there. Now, how did God create the heavens and the earth? How did he create them? He spoke them into existence. And that's a figure of speech right there. A sword going out of his mouth. He's going to speak, and they're going to be destroyed. Because God, this is the God that created, is also the one that shall take everything back. Right here, he shall bring everything back into his order. He shall bring in his kingdom. And he sets up his kingdom on earth. Because here is the king of Israel. Yes.
But he didn't make it out of nothing, right? Right.
He made it from that which is not seen. It's not ex nihilo, but that which is not seen. Okay. I know the Catholic fathers had ex nihilo there, but that's not what it says in the Bible. Rex, 15 and 16. Revelation 19, 15, 16. Or not Rex, Connie.
Oh.
Connie, I'm sorry. Called you by the wrong name.
Go with the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth with witnesses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Okay, he treads out the winepress. Now, back in the book of Genesis, way back here in Genesis 49, it said that he would crush them. Didn't it? Genesis 40, Jacob prophesied that this would happen. And who is this descendant? God chose Jacob, that through Jacob and through David, he would bring forth his Messiah. And go on a little further. You were number 16 yet?
And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Jehovah, the Word. Adonai, Ha Adonaiim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is this? Who broke into space and time in the person of a human and yet was God? John 1:14 says, Ka Hologo starts again. And the Word, flesh he became, and he dwelt among us. And it says down there, he's the only begotten. John 1:14 or 1:18 says he's the only. So who's got New American Standard? Anybody? Brother Randall, John 1:18, because that translates it correctly. He's not the only begotten Son. He's the only begotten God.
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him.
All right. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, in other words, inseparable, because he's part of the Godhead. It's impossible. John 1:1 says, in beginning kept on being... The Word. The Word, it says, Kylogo starts again, Prostone Theon. And the Word kept on being toward the God. In other words, he was inseparable. All the time that Jesus was on this earth, even though he took on human flesh, he never ceased being God. So God suffered in human flesh to redeem us so he would be like us. Who's the judge of all mankind? The Son. Why? Because he... did what? He took on with us, he took on our infirmities. He knows what it is to be hungry. Anybody ever been hungry? You ever been hot? You ever been cold? You ever been tired? See, he was all of that. And not only that, but he overcame and he did all of it without any sin at all. The human nature, the sin nature of mankind is placed in the human race through the man, not the woman. Here we have a woman. Woman means what?
Out of man.
Isha, out of man. And here we have man. As in Adam what? As in Adam what? Does the Bible say? As in Adam all sin. But through the woman, Genesis 3:15, through the woman, the seed of the woman. All right? God would be able to come into human flesh through the woman and not pass on the sin nature. If a woman could have a child without access of a man, you know, I'm not talking about this cloning business and all this, but if she could have a child, it would be sinless. Because the sin nature is not, Brother Norm, we do it. We put the sin nature into every child.
It's really messing me up. I've been living a different
way. We put the sin nature in our children. The men does. The women don't do that. And because of that, God could come and impregnate Mary with this sperma, this seed, and put and come into human flesh through the woman, but without sin. You understand that? Without sin. And that one day that He will be Jehovah Adonai Ha'Adonaim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guess what you get to do? You get to rule and reign with Him in that city that is so beautiful and bright. Because we're all going to be what? Kings and priests unto God. Isn't that beautiful? Because He's going to share now. He's going to share His universe with us. That's why we're here today. It's to learn how to do what we're supposed to do. All right? Now, that was a long lesson. And it covered a lot of ground. We didn't look at every scripture. But I think, do you realize that there was always supposed to be a king in Israel? That God had planned from the very beginning that there was going to be a king, and it would be David, and that God would come through that seed of David and come into the human race, and that someday that He would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that beautiful? You got any questions? Rex?
No. I was just thinking they don't give Judah much credit for that lion.
The lion with the tribe of Judah. You find out that there's a lot in the Bible. We're studying. We're going to go back into that now, but I couldn't. Several people wrote me emails and says, tell more about this king. All right? Now, I tried today. I hope that you understand this. I know you can go back. If you didn't, we'll go back and listen to this tape over and over again. You can go back over to discovertheword.com. It'll be up there. Randall will put it up, and you can go listen to it if you want one. Listen to it over and over again. If you want to watch it over and over again. I don't care. All right. Brother Bill.
Yes,